Climate activism takes many forms. Though flying accounts for just 2% of global carbon emissions, it's a growing sector, and there's no greener jet fuel on the horizon. So one scientist broke up with airplanes. Peter Kalmus is a climate scientist and author. In 2010, he realized he'd flown 50,000 miles, mostly for his work. In 2012, Kalmus founded the website No Fly Climate Sci, where he and other scientists could talk publicly about scaling back their air miles. That year, he gave up flying completely.
I realized that 3/4 of my own carbon emissions were from flying. That was a revelation. I had no idea that flying was that carbon intensive in my own life. And so I thought, this is excessive. This number of meetings and conferences is excessive. My collaborators already know what I'm working on. It's like essentially the same 15-minute talk they saw 4 months ago with like a few tweaks on it. And sitting on that plane that last time in 2012, it didn't feel worth it. And, you know, I had two very small children at the time, and I was thinking about them and their future. You know, it really felt like I was stealing from them.
So what do you do instead?
Well, so I'm fortunate to live in Los Angeles. You know, I take the train or I drive. We recently got an electric car. It's actually a Tesla, so it's easy to go. It's just as easy to go on long trips as with a conventional gas car. Remote collaboration is easier than ever. You can work on papers remotely. So, you know, conferences in California and San Francisco. I went to one all the way on the East Coast of the United States once, and after I got back from that, I felt like that was too far to go. So I'm actually going to a meeting in April in Washington, D.C., you know, and I'll try to like make as many meetings as possible with other people that I want to see on the East Coast when I make that one, because that's, for me, that's a pretty rare thing.
One criticism I've heard, particularly about scientists not flying, is that you're probably pretty well established in your career, but not everybody is in that position yet.
Actually, it wasn't quite like that, because the same year I stopped flying, 2012, was the year I switched into earth science. So it was a little bit like becoming a graduate student all over again in a new field. It's just that this whole flying less conversation, I think it makes sense to those of us who recognize that this is literally a planetary emergency. There's a huge mountain of evidence that makes that very, very clear to me. Like, I don't have any ambiguity about kind of taking that stance. And I think that as climate impacts get more severe and happen more frequently, more and more people will come around to the same sense that this is indeed a planetary emergency. In that context, flying less makes a lot of sense. And when I weighed that against my career, the choice was really clear. Like, yeah, this might slow down my career a little bit, but in the context of this planetary emergency, it was absolutely the right choice for me.
Recently, I've seen a lot of climate articles that talk about consumer choices, like not eating meat or not flying, not being the solution to this climate crisis, that national policy changes on energy and transportation or international agreements to reduce carbon are the only pathways that matter. What do you say to that?
Well, I think that's an excellent point, and I actually strongly agree with it. The reason I haven't flown since 2012 is just because it feels wrong to me personally. To me, burning fossil fuel, like, it seems clear that it's actually a deadly thing to do, that humans are dying because of it, non-humans are dying because of it, ecosystems are dying because of it, and the damage is effectively irreversible. I completely agree, though. The only thing that's going to get us out of this mess is going to be systems change. Doing something that kind of requires a sacrifice, like flying less, makes a strong symbolic statement. The power of these sorts of so-called individual changes is that they lead to the cultural shift and the growing awareness of climate emergency that leads to the systems change that we need to actually reduce global emissions.
The About page of the No Fly Climate Sci site says that one of the reasons you started the site was it so people who are making the choice not to fly don't feel so alone. Can you say more about that?
Yeah, so at the time that I started the site, you know, the movement was really small. There weren't a lot of people, especially academics or scientists, that were flying less. You know, so there's this sense of almost like gaslighting, you know, that our colleagues didn't really understand what we were doing. The social norm for academics is to fly a lot, and that's perfectly normal, and that's a good thing for your career. And so to push against that can feel sort of lonely and alienating, and it's very nice to have a sense of community. And now I think, you know, we definitely don't feel alone anymore. But in the beginning, it was nice to sort of see what other voices there were out there who were doing this and why they were doing it and what challenges they were facing and how they overcame those challenges. And so that was, I think if you read some of the stories on the website, a lot of them are very inspiring. And, you know, there's some surprising co-benefits that people find when they actually start flying less.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what are some of those for you?
Well, so I get a ton of work done when I go on a train. I didn't find going to airports and being on planes and that whole experience of standing in security lines pleasant, so I don't have to deal with that anymore. And then a big one for me was just seeing my family more and being kind of a participant in my community more, simply by traveling less. Because when you travel over the ground, you know, you're a lot more careful about what trips you actually agree to go on, because it takes longer. And then the last one, I used to have a problem when I was flying a lot of kind of getting a really bad cold after a flight. Maybe it has something to do with the jet lag or being on the plane, or, you know, not getting enough sleep when I was traveling. I'm not sure what it was, but I'm glad not to have that anymore.
Well, there are hundreds of scientists and other academics on the No-Fly Climate Sci website. What kind of an impact do you think it's making?
Well, it's part of this larger movement, right, which is more accelerated in Europe than it is here. And a lot of people that tell their stories on the website are actually European. I think there are a lot of academics who don't even realize the climate impact of flying, so it helps spread that level of awareness. And then we're starting to reach, I think, a critical mass where we're putting pressure on our respective professional organizations to support flying less. So we're moving from this kind of like individuals telling their stories of flying less to kind of a more systematic, let's change the institutions, let's pressure the universities and the academic organizations and start to change at that level, which I think kind of brings things more into the public eye. And our institutions always tend to kind of lag behind. And so once they really start to recognize that this is an emergency and start to act on it, then I think that will further accelerate the cultural shift.
Peter Kalmus is a climate scientist and author who gave up flying in 2012 and started the site noflyclimatesci.org. Are you trying to make changes in your own life to reduce carbon emissions by not flying like Kalmus and Swedish superstar Greta Thunberg, or in other ways? Tag us on Twitter. We're at Allegheny Front. I'm Kara Holsapple, and you're listening to The Allegheny Front.